Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe is very calm today.
Yeah, my microphone's off.
As usual, you passive-aggressive liberal, you.
Or dumb. One or the other.
Well, there are only a couple of switches over there, and I would say you're being passive-aggressive.
We had one job.
You had one job. Turn on both microphones.
Yeah, Kevin yesterday parked in the middle of two spaces, and that irritates Tom, who's got OCD parking.
Well, it would irritate me, too. I'd put
right,
a sticker on his car saying, what's wrong with you, stupid?
So Tom parked him in, says, if you're going to take up two spaces. So he's parked diagonally across
his vehicle. I like that. That's poetic justice.
But anyway, all of that counts because... our good intern here.
She moved the microphone.
So
anyway. I'd say we need some 3-in-1 oil over there.
Oh, 3-in-1. Do you know what 3-in-1 oil is? Have you ever heard of that? Now, see, we have a young person in the building. Peyton is
here.
They
no longer make it?
I'm going to ask you to do the strangest thing after you made that noise is move it back so I can ask you questions. So...
It doesn't make as much noise going
right.
The other direction.
Do you know what 3-in-1 is?
I do not.
It's oil. Household oil, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't they call it household oil?
Light oil.
Okay.
Light lubricating oil for many household applications.
1,000 household uses?
Including microphone booms this week.
Okay, I got you. All right, well, I'll turn Peyton's microphone off. Peyton from Sunbury, just a super student at Bloomsburg University.
She's from Northumberland.
Lives in Norrie? Oh, okay. Sunbury, okay.
Live in Sunbury. Okay.
Now,
okay.
But in any
did event, live in Northumberland.
Studying at Bloomsbury University, she's a junior, so super, super smart and has great experiences under her belt already, and is watching the broadcast.
But when you asked her what her choices were, it was doing this internship or jail.
not going to jail, but
no, she's criminal
doing an internship
maker, right?
At a prison. Although every time I walk up to the front door, I'm very grateful here that I have the keys. I can't escape if I wish to.
Well, the iron bars on your office probably should give you some indication.
I'm a little nervous about that.
Yeah, I would
that.
Be if I were you, too. So, here we are. Another day, another dollar. And
yes.
The program is brought to you by your good friends at the Sunbury Motor Company, about whom Mark will elaborate.
SunburyMotors.com is all you need to know for now. But hold that thought, because we'll be talking more about them a little bit later on. Our toll-free line now open, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM. I was here yesterday for a brief bit of the Talk to Santa broadcast that was here. There's about a dozen people up here working, making sure that we can get connected to
you
Santa.
You mentioned that yesterday.
And on the YouTube, so that was exciting. To that end, yesterday, one of our callers, Cindy, said that she'd found the program to be absolutely enchanting. And to that end, another listener wrote a note.
Yeah, Peg says, Mark and Joe, what a delightful few minutes Cindy brought to On the Mark. I hope the joy she feels is contagious and more folks do the same. It beats the winery we hear every day. Bravo, Cindy. Signed, Peg. So there you go.
All right. Now back to Bad Republicans.
Now back to winery.
And somebody sent in this question. Joe, do you know this answer?
I remember Nick Reed's Coca-Cola Classified. Do you know what station that was? Yes, it was WSEW in Sealands Grove.
That
no
license.
Longer on the air. It was an AM station at 12:30 on the dial. And I think they took the tower down and turned off the transmitter a number of years back.
Okay, so that was the end of WSEW. Yeah, I remember that. And Nick Reed was sort of his station, right?
Right.
He was the voice of that station?
No, actually, it was Bill Mahoney's station.
Okay.
Bill Mahoney owned it.
Okay.
And his daughter worked here for quite a while, Trish Mahoney.
Okay. And Mark Mahoney, his son.
Mark Mahoney is,
did IT here for a while and is now in the Pittsburgh area with a thriving, growing, wonderful family. He was probably the smartest IT person I ever met. Just everything that related to these systems.
And you had it down pretty cold.
Right.
It
made you look like a pedestrian.
I'll well, in some in today's world, I am a pedestrian.
Well, yeah, that's true. You're a little bit behind. So
I was at the cutting edge years ago, but the edge left me.
Now you're dull.
Now I'm on the dull side of the blade.
Of the situation. All right. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Joe, you've had a chance to look at this, plus some other things.
I have. This is an interesting story. If you would let get your hands off the mouse so I can move it so I can read it. Thank you very much. All right. Let me get it over.
Actually, I'm not touching the mouse.
Okay,
but anyway.
Well, then maybe the battery's running down in the mouse.
Maybe your battery's running down.
My battery's been run down for quite a while. This is a story out of the Villages in Florida. Three voters from a Florida retirement community that is a GOP stronghold have been arrested on charges of voting more than once.
What?
The three voters, all residents of the Villages area, were arrested over the past 2 weeks. They were each charged with casting more than one ballot in the 2020 election after complaints were filed with the Sumter County Supervisor of Elections. Jay Ketrick, 63, was arraigned last week on a charge of third-degree felony fraud. He entered a not guilty plea, and court records show he intends to, quote, attack the sufficiency of the charge. I'm not certain I know what that means. An arrest report did not... Oh, maybe you know what that would mean. Criminal justice. It says he's going to attack the sufficiency of the charge. Maybe that means...
Have you heard that phrase, sufficiency on an affidavit? No, okay, not yet.
All right.
You will.
An arrest report did not detail why he was charged, but Orlando television station WKMG, citing court documents, reported he was accused of voting by mail in Florida in October 2020 while also casting an absentee ballot in Michigan. Gee, I wonder how they pinned him down on that.
Well, there'd be record of him voting at both places.
Well, when Donald Trump said the election was rigged, apparently he was right. This guy voted for him more than once.
Did he vote for Trump?
He says it's a Republican stronghold, and actually it doesn't say what he voted.
Well, yeah, I don't know. You don't know that. I know that
the implication being, oh, I love how this story has landed. A Republican stronghold. So they don't really say he voted.
Right. They just leave the impression.
Well,
this is from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review.
Well, Pittsburgh Tribune Review is a conservative paper, so.
Is it? Okay.
It was. At least it used to be when Dick Scafe owned it.
But the Villages were famous during the Trump campaign for the big Trump rallies that they would have with the people on the golf carts and so on. Very photogenic. But there were Biden supporters there. They weren't all. I think GOP stronghold is a safe term based on the observations I've seen, but
voting twice is not a good idea.
Yeah, anyway, but
so
we don't know who he voted for. We do know that people voted twice up in the Wilkes-Barre area on a couple of occasions for President Trump. That was clear that that's who they were supporting. Yeah, all of the people who all the election fraud I've heard of are Trump supporters. So maybe that's why President Trump knew that the election was rigged, because he knew how many of his supporters
voted twice
doing the fraud. It still doesn't forgive what the governor of Pennsylvania did, changing the rules three or four times as the election was underway.
Well, I agree. That's not a good idea either. So, and basically, now the Republicans are trying to put things back the way they were before the start of the pandemic. Everybody says we want to get back to the way we were.
No, that's not true.
And everybody's saying it's voter suppression, voter suppression.
That's a false statement.
No,
Republicans are interested
statement.
In going the other way.
No, they're not.
Making it more difficult for new voters or liberals or other people to vote.
They want to make it tougher to cheat. That's all they're trying to do. Tougher to cheat.
I think that's maybe the stated goal. That might be what you picked up, but that's not what the specific measures do.
Now,
it definitely marginalizes.
Name me one where it suppresses voting. Name me one where it goes beyond what we did for 200 years in this country.
Oh, we talked about voter ID. We know that you do not know this, but other people who know about voting.
That's been debunked on this program by experts.
Who?
We've had some of our CBS correspondents even said that it was not, you know, that requiring voter ID wasn't a bad idea. And our late legal consultant, Bob Buhner, who always came on this program with more common sense than either of us have on most days, said there was no problem with it. Cliff Readers said there was no problem with it.
Well, that's fine. You can bring in all the experts you want. The fact of the matter is that
you brought these experts in.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying that you can have people that will tell you that they do not know. I have met, talked to, interviewed people who say they have a great deal of trouble complying with some of the voter laws that are being talked about, either here or elsewhere. So,
what are they? Give me some specifics.
Well, if you say that people have to have a photo ID, where do you get it? How do you get it?
No one's saying that's going to be the way it plays out. They're going to say that you have to identify yourself when you vote. Now, photo ID would be a great way to do that, and they are available.
But not everybody can get a photo ID. Not everybody can get their birth certificate. We had a whole discussion about this.
I know we did.
While you claim I don't remember the fact that certain experts said we could get an ID, you've apparently forgotten that quite a few people called in and explained empirically what happened in their situation trying to get an ID, trying to get a copy of an old birth certificate. So, you can say that experts tell you this, but we have real people telling us that they have trouble getting legal IDs.
Let's say you want to get a driver's license and you don't have a car. Is the government responsible to make sure you get a car so you can take your driver's license test? Is that the government's responsibility?
What kind of a silly question is that?
It's not a silly question. It's exactly
the same. What's that have to do with voting?
It's exactly the same thing. If you want to do it, you'll find a way. That's my point.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
If you wanted to drive and you didn't choose to walk up Blue Hill every morning, would you not do what you needed to do to get a driver's license and a vehicle?
I gotcha. So everybody lives like you. We just have to just make do. I think you'll find maybe you should volunteer for the Salvation Army. I think you'll find that not everybody lives quite like you do.
The overwhelming majority of people have voter ID. You can't open a bank account without without photo ID.
Right. There's no argument about that. But
so what should
we
do about those people who can't open a bank
account? If you wish
to
marginalize someone, make them have a photo ID.
That's
not that to be true.
No, we don't know that to be true. We know that to be propaganda from the left.
Okay. Right. All right. And from human service providers and other agencies around here. And from PennDOT.
What's the number of
people? Fully admit.
How many people can't get it? Give me a number.
Oh, I don't know. Let's say 5%.
You really think it's that high?
Well,
I think it's less than that.
I'm speculating because you encouraged me to do so. I don't know what the number really is. But the funny thing is that, do you think the number might be lower?
I do.
Okay, so 2%?
I would say maybe.
Okay, so 2 out of 100 voters, you couldn't possibly care less about whether they can vote or not.
How many of them actually voted in the past?
Well, I don't know. It doesn't really matter.
Because
they still have the right to vote.
No, they do. But you still had to go somewhere to register to vote. If that wasn't an imposition for them, getting identification shouldn't be an imposition for them.
Okay, well, we're at an impasse
here.
The fact of the matter is,
you refuse to concede, you're wrong.
Republicans, U.S.-wide and statewide, are taking a wide range of measures to not only fix things that might have occurred during the pandemic, but to go the other way. If anybody wishes to enlighten Joe about what some of these other measures are, feel free to call us.
I thought you were going to argue with me about the maps being drawn in Harrisburg.
I saw the one map. Didn't look terrible, although Congressman Keller's district is huge. Franklin County all the way up to Bradford.
Well, he's got Franklin County.
In one draft. I think they called it the citizens draft.
Oh, my gosh.
It would be enormous. I mean, Franklin County from, let's say, Bradford is, or Bradford County, not the community of Bradford,
so
would be, 100.5 miles or
Fred's,
so?
Well, Fred's district then would be largely south-central Pennsylvania, starting right
No,
Snyder
sort
County?
Of a diagonal swath, starting
County
in Adams,
then?
Adams and Franklin, all the way up to Bradford.
Well, that
and
would
Keene.
Be new territory for him, but I'm sure he wouldn't object to it. It's heavily Republican.
Well, and it's quite rural. I think it's safe to say he kind of gets the things that are affecting rural people, not necessarily how to talk to a talk show in a rural area, but he does other things in those areas.
Well, the welcome mat for Congressman Keller is always out.
Always open. All right, we'll take a quickie break. We'll open up the phones. We started out talking about Republican efforts to marginalize voters nationwide.
No, we talked about left-wing crying because 1% of the people
can't.
It's not crying. Winery.
It's winery. Sorry, it's a winery. Welcome to the On the Mark Winery. 1-800-795-9565. Do you know of any Republican efforts nationwide that would marginalize any voter? 1-800-795-9565.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could chop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Have you signed your letter of intent to be a better conservative next year?
Yes. All right. One of our listeners reminds us that I switched to the Democratic Party so I could support, quote, butthead, unquote. But she doesn't say which Democratic candidate she meant. All right. 1-800-795-9565 is the open phone. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236.
I think our friend Tom has got a pointed reference to me this morning without naming me. He says, never argue with an idiot.
Wait. The subject is?
The subject is advice to Mark. I'm sorry. I saw that. Never argue with an idiot. They will drag you down to their level and beat you with experience.
Well, Joe's 70-something. He's got lots of experience. All right.
I'm going to beat you down.
All right. I'm beaten down. By the time we get past Ben Reichle on Friday, I've been beaten down. All right. Ken, thank you for waiting through the break. You are on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. I'm just calling to make fun of you, Mark, as I try and do often. Everything you said about voter ID and everything else is so totally incorrect. I personally, last night, spent almost 3.5 hours minimum trying to establish IDs in certain places that I wanted to do business, including certain places outside of the country. And there were there were requirements. Period.
Okay.
Couldn't do my business.
So when a human service provider told me, now they can't give me the name of the individual, said they've been dealing with an individual trying to get an ID and they can't get their parents' birth certificate because they've been in the human service system, but they want to vote, that human service worker from Northumberland County was lying when Eric called and said that
you need your parents' birth certificate for you to vote?
They were trying to get a photo ID and that was one of the requirements for one of the things. So but that's not the point. The point is that person was lying. When Eric said he had trouble getting a photo ID for somebody related in his family, that means Eric is lying.
What about all these
people? When the individual who called us and said he was trying to get a federal ID or a real ID.
What about the real ID?
Right, he was trying to get that.
What percentage of people can't get that?
Right. Well, maybe 1-2%. So we got all these big fat liars out there. Ken's the only one who can see the real truth.
No, I agree with Ken.
Okay, that's fine. Yep, we got a lot of liars out there, and then there's Ken and Joe telling the truth all the time. Go ahead, Ken, you can finish.
I'm sorry, I wasn't sure if you'd just kick me off, which wouldn't be a problem, but I'm not trying to create a controversy. I'm telling you actually how it is.
Right.
I want to do business and do things, and I have to jump through hoop after hoop after hoop. And yet it's not necessary to vote for the leader of the free world with some form of proof, right? Why not? Just let everybody go.
Yeah, well, that's not a good idea either, because then you would have rampant voter fraud. The thing is
by the way, that was sarcastic.
I gathered it was. But seriously.
No. I most certainly didn't. But I when I told you the story about last night, I literally was on the phone for like 5 hours. And had to send birth certificates and everything else to try and do it. And, because it's business, I'm used to it. It doesn't hurt me so much. Just painfully a nuisance. And then we have people that are, just you don't need one.
Well,
if we
want our elections to be secure, and I think we can all agree that we do want that, the simplest and easiest way to guarantee some margin of security is to require people to identify themselves and make certain that they are, number one, legally qualified to vote, and number two, that they are, in fact, the person who is voting.
How about, maybe I'm the only one that will laugh at this. I know Mark won't, but and I do this on purpose for you guys. But I want to laugh. Hillary Clinton was on crying. No, she didn't lose. It was cheated. Did you see the interview?
Well, she gave a number of interviews where she said something similar. Which one are you talking about?
The last one that she did. She was way over the top, like serious tears.
No, I didn't. I guess I didn't see that.
I think she was crying when somebody asked her to read the acceptance speech that she had prepared. She teared up when she was reading that. Somebody asked her to read it, so she read it.
Anyway, my
point. She was carrying it around with her?
She associated with it. Oh, yeah. She still, to this day, got cheated.
All right. We got you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much, Ken. Thanks for checking in.
Thanks, Ken.
Very much to hear
call.
From you.
Nice to hear somebody with common sense.
Next up, we got two big fat liars on the phone, me plus Eric. Eric, what's it like to be living a lie?
You might be fat, but I'm not a liar. Come on, Mark, give me one out of two, huh?
I know. I'm not either. But Ken says we're lying. If we say anybody has trouble getting an ID,
we
are...
You know what Eric's going to say about this.
Prevaricators. Go ahead, Eric. You're on the mark.
Okay, so we're redistricting the federal districts, right, for representatives. How are we addressing the fact that we're losing one district? Who's going to be the odd man out?
Well, that's going to be up to the state Senate and House, who are going to... draw the maps. There's a House map drawn, a Senate map drawn. The governor draws a map. Last time, the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania drew a map, and that's the one we're using to this day. But now it will change. And so it will eventually be a vote of the legislature that determines what the districts are, and then the governor will have to sign it like he does every other bill.
And then the Supreme Court will change it illegally.
But all this is going to happen before the next election cycle, which we're going to but I'm trying to get this right. So we have all this done and figure out who our candidates going to be for these districts all before the election coming up in May.
Right.
Next year.
The governor wants it to have something by the end of the year, by the end of this year, in place. He's hoping. But, you know, the fact that Republicans and Democrats have to come together on this map will not make it an easy process. Somebody's going to lose their seat. Now, who's going to lose their seat?
And this
typically what they do, if there is somebody who is retiring, they cut up their district. So that otherwise they'll put two congressmen in the same place, same race, as they did with George Gikas and,
the sheriff of Schuylkill County.
Schuylkill County, Tim Holden.
Thank you.
Good job. They put them in the same district. That was 20 years ago, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
20 years
yep,
ago.
Give or
they
take.
Put them in the same district. So, you know, but they normally wouldn't do that if somebody's retiring or somebody bows out.
And they thought George Gikas would have Tim Holden for lunch, and guess what?
Tim Holden ate his lunch.
It's not uncommon. I can think of at least two other occasions in recent years where you're heading into a congressional election and congressmen and women do not know the precise footprint of their district. And in one sense, since they like to worry about these kind of things, they weren't even sure if they would be living in their district. So it's not uncommon that they wait till the last minute. And if you remember, this last election wasn't decided until after people had been elected. And then the Supreme Court redrew the maps. But
so,
I think they were redrawn so that everybody
could
stay.
Fred Calder lose his seat. How's that?
I'm sorry, say again?
He's the youngest one, right? He's the least amount of time in the state house or the federal house for Pennsylvania, so Fred just loses his seat because
I wouldn't guarantee that.
I don't think that he's there's somebody. There was a special election.
If Fred wants to keep his seat, then he should come on the radio and tell us why. He should emerge from Washington. There was a good letter to the editor yesterday of the Daily Item about that, by the way. That he's hiding in Washington just saying, hey, you know, vaccines are bad, don't take people's rights away, but he won't come up to central Pennsylvania and try to work at the hospital to try to mediate the situation.
I'm not certain that's fair. I don't think that Fred's hiding
well,
in
I'm
Washington.
Sorry, he has come up and he speaks to a captive audience of the Central Pennsylvania business leaders or whatever.
Well, that's not unusual. You know, if you're talking about building the economy, you need to talk to people who are business leaders. If you're talking about getting people back to work, you need to talk to people who are business leaders.
I don't think you can say Congressman Keller's unavailable. I think
no.
He kind of makes himself.
He doesn't come on this program.
When's the last time he was on your show? That's different.
He doesn't come here. And you know, I would say this to Fred if he were hearing me now. When he was in the State House, one of the things that made him unique is that he would go anywhere and talk to anybody. If you disagreed with him, he would be right there talking to you about it. You would wind up maybe agreeing to disagree, but Fred would always talk to you about it. For some reason, he does not come on this program, even though he has been invited many, many times and would be more than welcome and would be treated with dignity and respect as we treat every guest on this program.
I think it has something to do with the prevaricator host of the show, but that's just me.
That is just you.
Right, but I'm not sure. You still there, Eric? Eric, call back if you got more to say. I think we lost connection with you. There's a number of people who were elected in 2019 to the U.S. Congress from Pennsylvania. I don't see one in particular that's any younger or older than about a half a dozen of them since 2019.
Well, there was a special election out, I think, in the western part of the state for a congressional seat.
I'm not seeing it on Wikipedia, but that could be. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. Once again, which is almost always the case, Eric is right. Congressman Keller is the most freshman lawmaker in Pennsylvania.
Most in Congress. You said
well,
most
yeah,
freshman
from Pennsylvania.
Lawmaker.
Well, okay, in the U.S. Congress from Pennsylvania.
Right.
Got to be specific. But, because he was elected in a special election after 2019. Everybody else, there's about a half a dozen different Congress members who were elected in 2019.
He's won twice now on regular terms, right? Once or twice now.
Yeah, two times. Once at the end of that year, and then once beat Mark Friedenberg fair and square in a normal election.
Yeah, right, okay.
Who was the other person he defeated? Mark Friedenberg was the one.
Somebody who was a college professor or somebody, or was that Friedenberg?
That's Friedenberg, yeah, from Penn State. But Clifford or Harris or something or other? I don't know.
Well,
where's
anyway.
Wikipedia when you need it? All right, 1-800-795-9565. We talked about voter fraud a little bit. Lower right-hand corner, Joe.
All right, I thought you were going to do the news headlines.
I will, but ahead and read them.
Reported by the Associated Press, far too little voter fraud to tip election to Trump. In the six battleground states, Trump cried voter fraud has found.
Yes.
And then, of course, that gets cut off.
Yeah, AP did a study and found that, yes, there were anomalies all over the place,
no
but
argument.
Nothing that would have changed the outcome.
Right.
All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. Always include the keyword OTM in your text. We do have some brief news headlines here. Governor Tom Wolf has ordered the Pennsylvania state flag on all Commonwealth facilities, public buildings, and grounds in Union County to fly at half staff. We are honoring Todd Cleaver, Steese of Mifflinburg Fire Company, who died Sunday. Flags will be at half staff until Monday. State Department of Health is out with new COVID-19 numbers, saying that once again, thousands of new cases reported in one day. 7,400 new cases in one day reported as of yesterday midday. There are 181 new Valley cases in one day, including 83 in Northumberland County. As for hospitalizations around here, 5 new COVID-19 patients at Geisinger Danville, so they've hit 130. Geisinger Shamokin has one fewer patient on board with 24 total patients there in Evangelical Community Hospital. 3 fewer patients there admitted for a total of 50. And there are 3 deaths to report in the central Susquehanna Valley from COVID-19 in the past 24 hours. The congressional redistricting process, speaking of, continues to move forward with legislation approved by the State House Government Committee. Our correspondent Mark Sims is following that story.
Two bills approved by the committee will provide vehicles into which a new congressional map containing 17 districts negotiated by the legislature and the governor could be inserted. Representative Seth Grove, who chairs the committee, is optimistic something will get done.
Ultimately, I think we can get to a negotiated product. Obviously, the governor has a duty to weigh in on these. We released a preliminary map. I look forward to the governor releasing a preliminary map and us sitting down and having further discussions on this.
But the committee's Democratic chair, Representative Scott Conklin, opposes the bill.
I cannot support a bill that does not have a map attached to it. We cannot negotiate by passing a blank map.
Governor Tom Wolf would like to have a new congressional district map approved by the end of January. Mark Sims, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Penn Live is reporting that despite the uptick in COVID-19 cases, particularly in central Pennsylvania, Governor Tom Wolf has no intention of imposing any new statewide mask or vaccine mandates. He says he'll simply continue to urge Pennsylvanians to get vaccinated. In Washington, D.C., the House of Representatives voted to hold Mark Meadows in contempt of Congress after he stopped cooperating with the committee investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol. Meadows was former President Trump's White House chief of staff. CBS News political consultant Leonard Steinhorn was on the news line with CBS overnight.
Whether holding Meadows in contempt of Congress pressures other Trump aides to cooperate with Congress is unclear as of now. But the question they have to ask themselves is how far they're willing to go to protect the former president at their own peril.
And the near party line vote, 222 to 208, is the second time the special committee has sought to punish a witness for defying a subpoena. This is the first time since the 1830s that the House voted to hold a former member in contempt. And finally, we did hit a milestone in the pandemic. COVID has now killed more than 800,000 people in America. Scientists at Johns Hopkins have been tracking the number of infections since the start of the pandemic. This sad milestone shouldn't be a shock to us. It's what they said they've been predicting from the beginning. The U.S. leads all other countries when it comes to COVID deaths, and scientists say there's no doubt we'll hit 1 million before this is over. 1-800-795-9565. Love to hear from you today, whether maybe something about the pandemic or we'll talk to Santa. We talked about that yesterday in a wonderful conversation. We've been talking about voter fraud and voter ID.
And Congressman Keller.
Congressman Keller, the most frosh lawmaker in Washington, D.C. So we can continue that conversation.
Actually, our first caller does want to discuss that.
All right. Lance, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Hey there. Why, you know, I met a good congressman some time ago, and I asked him a very question as to why he wouldn't come on your program. And what he said was somehow or another, one of his staff was insulted royally by you or somebody there. And he's so busy and everything, he didn't elucidate on the deal, but that's the reason. So maybe you should call him and just find out what it is.
We tried that.
I know what it is. The congressman told me. As I understand it from him, Mark referred to his staff as eggheads, and somebody was offended by that. However, I know Mark well enough to know he intended that as a compliment. I've heard him use that word many times and never in a derogatory
mostly
sense.
Mostly about professors.
Right. Well, and but talking about people who are intelligent, and, you know, it's just... I'm surprised anybody would have taken that to heart and been offended by it, but that's just me.
And since then, we've tried to I have tried to contact congressmen, but there are no returns, no callbacks, no returned emails. So I've reached out many times.
At least I know, you know, exactly what it was. It seems kind of stupid to me. If he was there, I'd...
You just realized that? I thought that was plainly obvious from the beginning.
What's that?
Well, I don't fault the congressman for standing up for his staff. I would do that, too. But on the other hand, I think whoever was that offended, really, if they'd have called Mark and said, hey, what do you mean calling me an egghead? Mark would have probably told him very politely that he wasn't intending it as an insult. And I know Mark well enough to know he wasn't intending it as an insult.
I have nothing against the staff. They are super smart people who do great jobs and, by all accounts, take pretty good care of the congressman. So.
And I don't think you'd want to come back on and say... with regard to the congressman's staff, they are definitely not eggheads, because that would be an insult, I think. Everybody I've dealt with on the congressman's staff is a bright, intelligent person, more than capable of doing their job and dedicated to providing superior constituent service.
I wonder what the reference was to that, because I know that they do seem to take good care of the constituents so I wonder.
Absolutely they do.
An egghead is a term I picked up in college. It's what some students referred to as their professors, but it wasn't an insult. It's just just sort of describe the fact that they're super smart and
more than capable.
Right. Yeah. Just ultra brainy, I guess,
I think we need to rethink what insults actually are.
And then the other thing is to cut out, okay, if you don't want to talk to me, that's fine. Joe's here plenty of time by himself, or he can call on Friday when Ben is here. This idea of carving out this particular audience, does lots of other interviews with that OAS news service and Newsmax and probably that Fox early morning show. What's that called? First Fox. Fox or something.
Fox and Friends First.
Right. So that early show. So, he does media appearances. He just carves out this segment of his contact.
Well, I appreciate the intel as to what really went on.
Yeah, that's it.
I didn't know that. Why? Also, there on the voter ID versus voter fraud, why is it we say, well, that voter fraud, we know it exists, but it's so minuscule, you don't worry about it.
Before you continue, Lance, I just looked up egghead in the dictionary.
Oh,
here's
okay.
A definition. A person who is highly academic or studious, an intellectual.
Oh,
hardly
go.
An insult.
Brainy.
Right.
Oh, I like my brainy definition. Anyway. But anyway, go ahead, Lance. You were back to voter fraud. You'll have to start your sentence over. Go ahead.
Why, that it's just so minuscule, it doesn't matter. But when we talk about voter ID, that it keeps people from voting, we know that that is only minuscule. However, in these close elections, it could really make a difference.
Right.
So how come one makes a difference and the other one doesn't?
I think they both make a tremendously huge amount of difference. And I think if there's any voter fraud at all whatsoever, period, it should be meted out, found, individuals responsible, punished, and that we should put a system in place that doesn't let that happen again.
And there you are. That is voter ID, photo voter ID. We put a system in place that won't let that happen.
See, how much you forget, because I've always said a photo ID would be fine for voting, but you have to put physical, actual procedures in place to help absolutely, positively everybody to get one. You can't put up roadblocks against people saying, okay, well, you can't register unless you can prove
who
you are.
What's a roadblock? And the way you're defining this, the state would have to come to my house, take my picture, and issue me a card on the spot. I wouldn't have to do anything. I'd have no skin in the game.
Well, something between
as it is, they can go now out onto 522, and they can get an ID at the voter or at the state police driver training program.
What's your view, Lance? So let's suppose we wanted voter fraud to be 100% wiped out. All right, so we find some way to do that. What would be a way that we could make it so that 100% of people could get an ID?
Sure. You'd have enough volunteers that would take people to a photo ID center. I mean, we can do all of the licensed drivers, no problem.
Right.
You could set up CVS has a wonderful place to get pictures, and we could absolutely do that. And everybody that that needed one would just raise their hand and say, "Hey, I need one," and there'd be a volunteer there. I know I'd do it.
How many times have you heard people say, "If you need a ride to the polls on election day, give me a call." So I am sure those same people would be more than willing to take somebody someplace to get them a voter ID, photo ID, for their voting, wouldn't you? Isn't that the kind of thing that service organizations or service clubs perform? If you really want to vote and that's required that you have a photo ID, I'm sure there'd be a way for you to get it.
I would wager that the League of Women Voters would really do it. And I know I take three old folks to polls every election. So we'd have enough folks to do it, no problem.
Define old folks, just out of curiosity.
Well, he's probably looking in the mirror. Just saying.
I only say
that because I know you, Lance, and I know you're a great friend. So, all right. Thank you, sir.
I was just told yesterday I didn't look my age.
You looked older or younger?
Older.
Older. Uh-oh.
Yeah, when someone says you don't look your age, you never know how to take that.
I know. Okay.
Thank you so much, sir. 1-800-795-9565. Got open phones. Lower right-hand
corner. One of our texters says, to Mr. Keller, I think he's ashamed that he stood up for Humpty Trumpty and his lies. He made his path and needs to apologize.
All right.
I don't think that's true.
Which part?
Well, he did stand up for Donald Trump, but, you know, out of conviction.
And his lies.
Not his lies. He stood up for out of conviction.
He stood up for President Trump at every turn.
And so you believe that President Trump lied about what is it that Fred Keller endorsed that turned out to be a lie by President Trump? Just out of curiosity.
Oh, I'm sure I didn't memorize it. But
I'm sure you didn't either.
He believes in Stop the Steal, that the election was stolen and that Trump won.
Well, he's not the only person who believes that.
I didn't say that. You asked me, does Congressman Keller think the election was stolen? The answer is yes.
No, I ask you what lie President Trump put forward.
That the election was stolen. Oh, my gosh.
But that's not necessarily a lie if
who
it can
be
proven. Who
was it that said I was beat down at the end of the week?
That was Tom.
Right.
Said, don't argue with an idiot. And here you are arguing with an idiot.
Well, I didn't say it. You said it, not me. All right, we'll take a quickie break. But more comers. First line of that great clipping you have, that sounds very interesting.
Right. After removing a trio of Confederate historical markers an hour west of Gettysburg, the Pennsylvania Historical and Museum Commission has replaced two with significant revisions that view Confederate milestones through a more critical lens.
All right.
Polite way of saying Wolfie has ordered the scrubbing of our history.
All right. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Email on the mark at WKOK.com. Text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
All right, welcome back. That middle email there, Joe.
All right. From one who is an egghead, if that is the reason Congressman Keller refuses to call into your show, he needs to grow up. Just one of the many reasons I never voted for this Trump lap boy.
That's unfair.
But
and Tom asks a very good question.
How do you use voter ID with mail-in ballots?
Right. So that's going to be an issue. I don't know that answer. We talked about it off mic, but I don't know how you verify mail-in ballots.
Well, I think you verify them by having the person who requests them having to submit a copy of his photo ID with the request for a ballot.
You dog. Good. That could work. Cindy, you're on the mark.
Good morning, gentlemen, and Merry Christmas. And Joe, you egghead you. That was a great suggestion. I was wondering what the answer would be. That's a brilliant suggestion.
I like that idea.
Thank you.
Yes, I do too. I think that's a terrific suggestion.
Get a free copy of your ID at the local library, and away you go.
Well,
and it's already postage paid.
You can get a photo ID from the state even if you don't drive a car. They give photo IDs out. I looked into that when we had this debate before.
Right,
as
but
freely and readily available.
Right, and I'm just saying you can get a copy of it.
Well, and as one of our texters, emailers, Rob says, didn't our governor admit to voter fraud when he said that his wife dropped off his ballot? Yes,
yeah,
he did.
There's one instance.
He committed voter fraud.
Yep, there's one instance right there.
Yes, he did. But, hey, it's okay because, you know, he's in the paparazzi of government, the higher-level people. They
elite.
Can do whatever they want.
Elite.
And it's just embarrassing when they get caught, but no one holds them accountable. But that's not why I called.
Okay.
I called because I saw good news in the paper yesterday.
What?
East Buffalo Township. Props to them. East Buffalo Township up there in Union County. Do you know what those supervisors did?
lowered to taxes.
There you go, Mark.
I can't even say it.
How about that?
As a liberal, I can't even say it.
I know. It chokes you in your throat, as my kids say about things they don't want to eat for dinner. 6.5%. 6.5% they lower taxes. When I was on the school board, there's an organization called the Pennsylvania School Board Association. And they had a liturgy that said, raise the taxes every year to the maximum you're allowed by the state and build up a reserve in case you ever can't raise the taxes. Or in case there's ever like a calamity. Well, isn't that why you carry insurance in case there's a calamity?
Or borrow
money.
Well,
I think they're talking about things like a rainy day fund, you know, that
well,
you establish reserves.
Well, there's raining and then there's ridiculous. You know, you can't have an ark at every school. This is just ridiculous. It, you know, it's they have more, the Pennsylvania schools collectively have $4 billion in reserve. $4 billion. Now, these are dollars they come before the legislature and they say, oh, we don't have enough money to improve math scores. We can't, you know, pay for teachers. Well, then what are you sticking all this in your savings account for? You took that money from the taxpayers. You took that money from the state. You took that money from the federal government. You should be using it, not hoarding it in bank accounts.
Cindy,
and the worst part was that some of those school districts, an untoward number, abused that holding of that money and gambled it, literally gambled it in something called interest swaps and lost it, and some of them are still paying the penalties of that. Taxpayer money that's supposed to be helping kids learn math is actually paying the penalties of the poor decisions about engaging in these interest swaps. So what's the bad side of them hoarding all this money? Well, they become prey to these con artists in the marketplace who say, well, let's get that pile of money. Let's make that our money instead.
Well, one of our good listeners who's following East Buffalo Township says that the reason, one of the reasons they lowered taxes is they realized that their capital reserve fund was too high.
Yes. Well, they and the state put a limit on how high school districts can be based on their budget. That and you catch that? Based on the budget. So if you raise your budget every year, you also get to raise the level of hoarding you can engage in every year.
Well, maybe you're premature in crediting them. Maybe they were taking too much tax in prior years, and this year they just got caught and realized they had too much in there, and so they lowered it.
No, they lower taxes every year.
Do they?
They have done it 3 times in the last 5 years,
no,
I think.
Okay, not every year.
Article.
Just
so
about
they've
every
been
year.
They've been and or held the line and didn't raise taxes at all. So what's the message I have? I hope that all the other local governments ask them, how'd you do this, guys? And follow this model.
All right.
Because they've obviously managed to govern, held their responsibilities, meet the needs of their citizens, and not raise taxes year after year after year.
Well,
a
lot of municipalities don't raise taxes year after year after year. In Shamokin Dam, I don't think we've had a tax increase in the last four years.
But
maybe
did you ever lower taxes?
Actually, we cut a tax out this year. We cut out the per capita tax.
And that lost how much revenue?
Tax.
Oh,
it's
I forget what it 40,000 somewhere. Then
oh,
I forget
yeah.
how much.
No, that's a real amount for a borough your size.
I'm trying to remember.
That's a dump truck.
$10 a head.
What's the cost for a new dump truck?
I tried to get rid of it in the school district, and they wouldn't listen to me. They just would. My fellow board members just wouldn't hear it. It was ridiculous. You know, we had some inordinate. I'm thinking the budget was like $18 million, and we were taking in $60,000 with this tax. It was just ridiculous to continue. And why were they doing it? Well, because this created work for the tax collectors. Well, that's not why we run a
school. Well, the county, given the county
to create
credit,
work for tax collectors.
Snyder County took the lead. They cut it out, and they sent a notice to all the other municipalities saying, we've cut this out. You know, if you're going to collect it, you're going to have to do it yourself.
Oh, I see.
And so
okay.
We said, you know, it doesn't make sense, and, you know, we were more than happy to drop it. But Snyder County took the lead.
Well, good for them.
Yep.
And, not, you know, I say, let's hold the line. Let's look at where we can reduce the taxes. That's how local government can compensate for the inflation and the overspending at the state and federal level.
Maybe we can get some members of the local school board budget committees to sit in the back row at East Buffalo Township for years and see how could you possibly live within your means. That's not how we do it at Shikellamy.
Well, the worst part would be if they got their liturgy into the heads of the East East Buffalo people, and they bought into the baloney. Anyway, Merry Christmas to everyone, and kudos to East Buffalo Township.
All right. Thank you so much, Cindy.
Lowering their taxes. Thank you, Jeff.
Appreciate the call. 1-800-795-9565. Got open phones. Joe, your good Penn Live article, please.
Yeah. This is, I said, after removing a trio of Confederate historical markers an hour west of Gettysburg in McConnellsburg, Pennsylvania, the Historical and Museum Commission of the state has replaced two with significant revisions that view Confederate milestones through a more critical lens. The McConnellsburg-Fulton County markers and plaques commemorate the first deaths of Confederate soldiers in Pennsylvania and the site of the Southern Army's last encampment here. The state removed them in September of 2020, capping a review initiated by the State Historical Commission and Governor Tom Wolf's office following deadly violence in Charlottesville, Virginia, 3 years prior. Two of the items have been revised to position the Union Army more centrally in the historical narrative and to depict the Confederates as a destructive invading force. The items were reinstalled in May, said Howard Pullman of the commission, which oversees the state's historical marker program. And the third, a bronze plaque dedicated by the neo-Confederate group before the commission gained oversight, will not be replaced. That was the Daughters of the Confederacy. They put a plaque up. But here's what they changed it to. A plaque commemorating the final Confederate encampment is going to be taken down. Let's see. A historical marker with similar text and the same subject matter has been updated to include mention of the Union routing that followed the last Confederate camp in Pennsylvania to end. Hmm. I'm trying to look. I had the exact wording here, and now I can't find it. Huh. Isn't that crazy? But they went on and referred to the Confederates as the enemy. And that's part of what they did. And, you know, I always remember what Robert E. Lee said. He said, somehow those people over there don't seem like the enemy. You know, and President Lincoln said, let them up easy, boys, when he was talking to General Grant and General Sherman, meaning, you know, these are now our fellow countrymen again. To refer to them on a historical plaque as the enemy today, you know, seems a little iffy to me, but...
But they're still referred to as the enemy today.
They are now on these new revised, in these new revised things. That is, and of course, the governor has said that these, what does he say, these decisions were not arrived at or made lightly or hastily. I'm trying to see if there's somewhere in here. I thought it was.
Well, you find that. I have to take the break because the light's going off here. So 1-800-795-9565. Open phones right now. You can call us about the topic of your selection. We're talking about historical markers in Pennsylvania and changing the wording. Joe says history is taking a beating here in Pennsylvania because of these revisions. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarket@kok.com. And text us at 70236.
Okay, I got it now.
Go.
The plaque has been changed to read, during the invasion of Pennsylvania by the Confederate Army, raiding parties crossed into Fulton County to steal horses, livestock, and supplies. On June 29, 1863, Union troops of the 1st New York Cavalry attacked the enemy soldiers, killing two and injuring several and taking 32 prisoners, including the captain. These were the first Confederate soldiers killed in the battle on Pennsylvania soil, and they were buried here by local residents. Ironically, a general by the name of Sherman did the same thing in Georgia. He stole horses, he stole food, he stole, you know, forage. It's what they did during those days. They called them foragers, and they went out and they secured enough supplies. You know, you couldn't go to the store and put in an order for 20,000 cheeseburgers.
Your supply line's probably broken.
Well, you couldn't say, go call McDonald's and say, give me 20,000 cheeseburgers, I got an army coming through here. So they actually stole. Now, in many times, the Confederates paid for what they took with Confederate money.
Oh, okay.
Which, of course, was worthless. But, you know, and what's ironic, the prior marker mentioned only a skirmish, and the marker's title has been changed from Confederate Dead to Gettysburg Campaign. So,
and is Gettysburg the true high water mark of the Confederacy in Pennsylvania?
Yes.
Okay. 1-800-795-9565. Talking history. Eric is willing to speak for 1 minute on this topic. Go ahead, sir.
Would you consider someone who starved your ancestor to death in a prisoner of war camp as being an enemy?
They starve your ancestors? You're talking about Andersonville, I would assume.
No, he's in Libby Prison in Richmond.
All right. Well, either one, Andersonville or Libby Prison. They both...
No, they're two different places. This was the... that's where my great uncle died.
I think the only
How about coming late in the war and burning to the ground the town of Chambersburg? Not an action of an enemy?
Yes, it was, but they offered Chambersburg the opportunity to ransom the community. I was a councilman in Chambersburg. I spent a number of years there, and my wife's from there, so I'm intimately familiar with this issue. General McCausland offered them the opportunity to ransom the town. The Chambersburg residents, being frugal, said no. And so he set fire to the town. They were warned what would happen if they didn't pay. They chose not to pay, and they suffered the consequences. And they commemorate that every year.
Right. That's not the action of an enemy? Come on.
That's, well, what
really fries my behind is the fact that here in Port Treverton, in the house next to where my great-great-grandfather Charles lived, and actually appeared in uniform many times during Independence Day. It used to be praised in Port Treverton during Independence Day. That house next to him, where my relative used to live, flies the Confederate flag. And that really flames me, because to me, the Confederate flag is the flag of an enemy of my family for what they did in killing one of my ancestors, and always will be the flag of an enemy.
And you do recall the fact that the United States troops under General Sherman burned Atlanta and quite a few other towns along the way. It was a war. It was uncivil.
They didn't burn Atlanta. Atlanta burned itself.
No, they set fire to it. They were trying to keep it contained. Unfortunately, it got out of control.
Right. Who set fire to it?
Well, Union troops were the
wait a second. They were prevent stuff from being captured.
And we did stuff when we left the town to keep anything from falling into Confederate hands that would be beneficial to them.
All right, guys.
Read your history.
I hate to interrupt your Gettysburg.
Read yours, Joe.
Thank you,
they
Eric.
They burned Chambersburg to the ground, and so it was our fault because we wouldn't pay the ransom. You're blaming us for them burning the town to the ground?
I'm saying they had an option.
Thank you,
they
Eric.
Chose
thank
not
you,
to
thank
exercise
you, thank
the
you, thank
option.
Thank you, Eric. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Bob from Paxinus, Pennsylvania. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Hey, good morning. I guess there's a lot of good news going on around here now. Northumberland County has no new tax increases, thanks to Commissioner Kim Best and the other commissioners. And thanks to Linda Slagle-Culver and Senator John Gordner, they've gotten millions of dollars state grants for the city of Sunbury to buy our former Celotex site up in Front Street, so we'll be getting $2 million out of that for that property they're going to be redeveloping.
Well, they didn't buy it, Bob. They didn't buy it. They already own it. The county owns it. They've got $2 million to rehab it and get it set up for sale.
Is the city buying it?
I think the city's buying it for a $2 million grant.
Right, and then the county...
I understand.
That's probably true, and that money will be used to get the site ready for sale to a private enterprise.
Correct. And also over in Northumberland, they're getting a new propane distribution business set up in Point Township. They're getting $1 million state grant too. And all this is from all our local leaders, commissioners, you know, senators, representatives, et cetera, in our county, working very hard for us. And I just want to put out a great big thank you to all these people that are doing what they can for our county, our state, and
we thank them for fighting hard and bringing back a tiny penny back for the bazillions that we send down there every year. So we owe them.
And this pandemic thing, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse with all these different variances. Where are these variances coming from?
I guess that's a natural thing that viruses do, is evolve. It seems to be.
Yeah, it's like it finds another way to attack.
It finds another way to survive.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Mm-hmm. But it's just getting crazy. I mean, our hospitals are getting overwhelmed. It's you know, Geisinger has to choose between one room and five patients. Who gets that room? That's how bad it is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm just looking out. Holidays are coming. People want to get together for Christmas. Do what you can to protect yourself and your families.
Right.
Let's get this under control before we reach that million death mark.
All right.
Okay. That's all I have to say.
Thanks, Bob.
All right. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate
if I may
that.
Quote from
Please.
The National Geographic Society, on November 15th, 1864, United States forces led by General William Tecumseh Sherman burned nearly all of the captured city of Atlanta, Georgia, United States. The event occurred near the end of the U.S. Civil War, during which 11 states in the American South seceded from the rest of the nation. The Confederate States of America was formed to maintain the institution of enslaving people of African descent. More than 3,000 buildings, including businesses, hospitals, homes, and schools, were destroyed. Whoa. The Atlanta campaign aimed to cut off Atlanta's vital supply lines that provided Confederate troops with reinforcements, ammunition, and goods such as clothes, first aid, medicine, and equipment.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. We're trying to revise history here and declare...
No, I'm trying to keep it straight.
...the Confederacy no longer an enemy. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Mike, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in. We got open phones today. What's your topic of discussion?
Well, maybe Sherman helped Atlanta out. It's a heck of a lot nicer city than Philadelphia right now, I would say.
Yeah, you got a point there.
Yeah. Hey, actually, Joe, when you mentioned that and that thought came into my head, I kind of forgot what I was going to talk about, but now I remembered. Yesterday, I was talking to two professional people in positions of authority that were going to provide me with some information that I was looking for. And we kind of got off topic a little bit at the end of the meeting on air. Well, we were on the phone. And we were talking about voter participation, and they were telling me, how the votes come in to these offices and why it looks like, the Republican may be ahead and then fall behind as they count their ballots. Everything that I understood. And I mentioned to them, I said, and I don't know how I tied it in, but I said, if I spent all day watching MSNBC and CNN, I'd be afraid to leave my house because either the virus would kill me or some white supremacist with a gun would shoot me.
Yeah, you mentioned that before, this fear factor that you think is being promulgated.
That's right. And these two fellas, I thought I heard them fall off their chairs laughing, okay? And these were professional people in a responsible position as soon as I said that. So I think what I did, one was a Republican and one was a Democrat. I know that for a fact. I think I hit a kernel of truth that they both know is true, that this fear is being spread upon us. And I want to tie in the Omicron. Okay. I'm reading a lot of things where scientists are kind of hedging themselves on this virus now. They're kind of thinking that this Omicron may be a completely new virus, not a variant, okay? And that would kind of make sense to me. I'm not saying it's true, but, the idea, it fits with the idea that viruses generally get weaker as they mutate, okay? And this one appears to be weaker. But the people that know what they're doing and study this stuff and actually look at these things, they said there's so much differences between this and the original COVIDs that they question whether it's really, not a different virus, okay? So I don't know, maybe... It's just me. Like, for instance, I made this joke about the guy, being afraid to leave my house if I watch CNN and MSNBC. And, you turn on at CNN, it's the end of democracy. I talked about that yesterday. That was the big thing. It's the end of democracy. And January 6th is the worst thing that ever happened in this country. Well, from my viewpoint, and this is just my viewpoint, and I shouldn't be called names or a conspiracy theory, but I think the idea that we haven't gotten to the bottom of what really happened in Russiagate and all the people involved appropriately identified and punished, because it took out a president, okay? Now, Trump, again, this is where I'm different than a lot of my friends on the left. Trump was his own worst enemy, okay? I don't hear anybody saying that about Biden. They won't. If you're a lefty Democrat, you'll never criticize Biden. But I'm telling you, Biden is just as bad as Trump in many ways. But Trump was his own worst enemy, okay? So I think that proves that I'm willing to look at things, somewhat rationally on an even keel and call a spade a spade. Whereas These people that are spreading this stuff about, you know, anybody that's a white guy that owns a gun is a white supremacist, you know, and casting all these dispersions on people, they're just being divisive. And like you said, Mark, it just keeps coming up over and over and over. Anything to divide people.
Well, there's another issue, too, and I heard this reported on in the media today, and admittedly it was Fox News, but there was one lady who was killed in Charlottesville during that terrible white rally, if you want to call it that, where, what did they do? Somebody just ran her down.
Right, a driver drove over
people. But nobody is making any kind of a comment from the left about Waukesha, Wisconsin, where a black man mowed down, trying to escape from an assault charge, mowed down six or seven white people and killed five of them, injured 40 more.
Were they at a racial rally at that time?
They were at a Christmas parade.
Okay.
So doesn't that make it even worse?
No, I
they
think
were
it's
there
a
celebrating.
Terrible criminal offense, but it
so
doesn't have anything
to do with it.
So
was the other one.
So they both have to do with race.
Well, do they or don't they? If a white person runs down a person at a peace demonstration or a Black Lives Matter rally, that's racist. But a black man runs down and kills white people at a
was
Christmas
the
parade.
Driver of the car in either of those cars doing so because of race?
No.
So in Charlotte, that man ran over those protesters because he just happened to be a bad driver.
No, he deliberately set out to mow people down, just as the other guy did. But I don't know that it was racially motivated. Maybe it was. You're
Brother.
Asking me if... What
yeah, I don't recall what his motives were.
I don't believe that black man, I don't think, was motivated by race in Waukesha. He was trying to escape from
so
police.
So you still don't know if they are in Charlotte, is what you're saying. You still haven't found out after all these years.
Well,
you
I'm just saying that, you know, he thought he was being attacked, didn't he?
Okay, Mike, what else? Well, another caller.
I want to follow up on Joe. Now, the guy in Wisconsin, you know, he blew through barriers to get onto that road, and then he saw that it was filled up with the parade. He could have easily blown through a barrier to get off of that road, okay? So that you know, I don't know. I don't know the facts.
Well, there's testimony. There's testimony.
The only guy that knows what happened was the guy driving the car.
But there are witnesses who say he deliberately steered at people, so... Whether yeah. they're to be
well, should be criminally charged. What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with running over people?
No, what's wrong with charging them in the criminal court system with manslaughter and murder?
Not a thing. Both of them. My point is both of them should have been charged, but the left makes a big deal out of one and doesn't even mention the other.
Here we go. All right.
Now,
thank you, Mike.
What about the guy in Charlottesville? Wasn't he in traffic or in a parade of some sort that was stopped and people were banging on his car?
He said he felt threatened. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he said he did. But he was wrong. He shouldn't have done what he did either. Both are wrong. I'm just saying one is portrayed as being evil and the other one isn't even mentioned.
Oh, exactly. And I agree with you 100%. But go back to Jesse Smollett.
All right, we got to go.
Everybody was saying that was a racial attack and a white people or whatever they were, Trump supporters, and it turned out not to be true. Right. How many of these news stories that are taken for granted aren't true, just like Smollett?
And I saw one this morning that
Thank you, Mike, for calling in.
One of the black jurors on the Smollett case said the reason he voted to convict was that no black man would, after having a noose put around his neck, would not fail to take it off. They wouldn't put it back on. Mm. And I agree with that. That lynching is a horrible thing.
And the Subway sandwich was totally intact and enjoyed shortly thereafter. The whole thing... Yeah, it stunk. All right. Stand by, Dennis. We'll have time for more callers. 1-800-795-9565. Email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Okay. 0 to 60 in 4 seconds. All count right. 1, 2, 3, 4. All-wheel drive. There's a GT version that's even faster. There's a GT Performance Edition that's even faster with an extended range battery. I'm talking about the Mustang Mach-E. Now, the first edition is still out there. That's the one that I got to drive. But they have a new GT that's out there that's even faster that can lay rubber and with all four wheels for about a quarter mile. And then there's premium if you just want pure luxury and don't necessarily need to accelerate in 4 seconds. That goes 0 to 60 in 8 seconds, which is still enough to spill your drink. And they also have the California Route 1 edition that can go over 400 miles on a single charge. And these are the electric Mach-E Mustangs. You can order one up at the Sunbury Motor Company. They had one in there that we drove months ago, and then they went through a dry spell. Now they're ordering and delivering them once again. So it's an opportunity for you to drive an all-electric vehicle. I mean, you could say it gets hundreds of miles to the gallon just so for comparison purposes, but obviously it uses no gallons. It is 100% electric. It's got two big electric motors. It powers all four wheels. Charges at home on 110 or even faster on 220. You can plug it in almost anywhere you go. Now you see the electric charging places all over. Some electric charging is free. Others you do have to pay a fee for. But Mustang Mach-E, this vehicle starts at about $50,000, but you can get a ton of vehicle here before you ever get to $60,000 on these Mustang Mach-Es. Wonderful electric vehicle, Joe. I think your next vehicle should be electric.
You could get a gas-powered generator and take it with you to charge yourself.
Oh, I never thought that would be an excellent idea. And then, of course, you would get an even bigger generator.
I would, so I could get even more mileage.
So you could run 220
right.
And use it to charge that. And how many miles to the gallon on the generator?
Oh, I don't know. Who cares?
About 25 miles to the gallon, just like an electric vehicle, or just like a gas car. All right, Dennis, you're on the mark. Thanks for waiting. Go right ahead.
Yeah, good morning. I missed the beginning of the show, so I wasn't sure. Did you hear about Joe Biden's comments last night at the Democratic Committee holiday celebration? He said very clearly, and I don't have it in front of me, so I'm sort of, you know, surmising, but he said along the lines, it doesn't matter who's registered to vote, and it doesn't matter how easy you make it for others to vote. He said it's who counts the vote that counts, and if your vote counts at all. I thought that was sort of a startling for President, 81 million votes there. But
what do you think? What was his point? I'm not certain I get his point. Is he saying that there's going to be voter fraud, it's going to be among the people counting the ballots? That's what President Trump alleged.
Yeah, exactly, and that was my point, too. I don't know what he was getting at, but this was to the Democratic National Committee, and his exact quote to the Republicans was, and it's misquoted because it was how he said it. He said, get ready, bow, instead of pal, P-A-L. It's B-A-L. Get ready, bow. You're going to end for a problem. He said that to the Republicans, if you think you're going to win in 2022, this is what you're going to be in a problem. It's poor English, but that's how he quoted it. But I'm like, when I heard that about it doesn't matter who's voting and how easy you make it to vote, I'm like, what?
I liked what Bob Dole's funeral when he or a memorial service when he read end of message, which was on his screen.
Yeah, well. This sort of tied into what we were talking about today, yeah. So I thought I'd add that.
Thank you, Dennis. Appreciate your call. We're out of time on this edition of the show. If you have more to say, call back tomorrow.
One of our good listeners says both Charlottesville and Wisconsin were both racially motivated killings.
Okay.
All right, so now we know. Thank you, everybody, for listening. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.